From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May 13th, 2014. This weekly podcast gives you an inside edge on technology news related to all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Earlier this month, the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology released a report called Big Data and Privacy, a Technological Perspective. Many of the technologies discussed in the report had to do with how location-based information is gathered and the purposes for which it is used. In today's podcast, we'll explore how even LIDAR and the development of city models, technology the geospatial profession counts on every day, is raising privacy concerns. But first, a word from our sponsor. Map out your future in one of the top three high-growth industries. With a master's degree in applied geospatial sciences from Elmhurst College, you'll be an expert in spatial thinking and geographic information systems. And you'll have the tools that will make you indispensable in the industry. The degree is completed entirely online in cohort-based classes, so it's perfect for working professionals. For more information, visit go.elmhurst.edu/spsmags. Well, Adina, this report from the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, the PCAST group, it was entitled Big Data and Privacy, a Technological Perspective, and could have almost been retitled Big Brother Tackles Geospatial. And after reading most of the report, I came away thinking, one, somebody knew quite a bit about geospatial technology, and two, we've been down this road before with the applications of location-based data and privacy concerns. Not that we shouldn't be, you know, continue to remain vigilant about nefarious uses of location-aware devices and the data they produce, but whether it's used by the government or by criminals, but there are trade-offs, and we've talked about this many times. And the argument goes, and was raised in this report, that there are good and bad consequences of capturing all this location-based information. But more important is this. Capturing data is one thing, but the continuous capture of data, such as with sensor technology and the integration with ubiquitous, always-on location devices, allows some to put two and two together, with the resulting information being a surprising violation of privacy, at least surprising to the individual who may not understand how data is being captured, for example, from their cell phone. So from the report, speaking specifically about how cloud plays into privacy concerns, I'm going to quote, "The rise of both mobile apps reinforcing the use of cell phones and tablets as platforms and broadly distributed sensors is associated with the growing use of cloud systems for storing, processing, and otherwise acting on information distributed by dispersed devices. Although progress in the mobile environment improves the usability of mobile cloud applications, it may be detrimental to privacy to the extent that it more effectively hides information exchange from the user. As more core mobile functionality is transitioned to the cloud, larger amounts of information will be exchanged, and users may be surprised by the nature of the information that no longer remains localized to their cell phone." There were several geospatial technologies specifically and unusually identified in the report. LIDAR technology was used, satellite imagery, drones, UAVs, digital city models. We've hit their radar screen, and it puts us in the middle of this debate. It seems like we've passed the debate on privacy already with regard to LBS, and so now this comes out. Are we overlooking privacy and simply concerned with our wonderful application development and cool technology? It just seems like we've had this argument, and now we've retrenched, and we still focus on the cool stuff that we're able to produce.
I can't say that the geospatial community is any different than any other big data using corner of the world. And I think we run smack bang into the same issues everybody else does, which is collection is easy, analysis is getting easier and cheaper, but the real challenge here is the how do you use it, right? So it's the same problem of a hammer can be used to bang nails, but it can also be used to bop somebody in the head and kill them. And we're sort of running into that exact same thing where we gather all this data and do the analysis and come up with the fact that the person who lives on Central Street at number 72 is pregnant, and then we start to act on that. Yeah, we're going to freak that person out.
Yeah, but that's very specific to geospatial. So I would argue with you that we're not like everybody else.
Yeah, and yet you seem very pleased that location technologies were identified and referenced throughout the report.
Well, not pleased, but they were very specific. I mean, urban scene extraction can be accomplished using a variety of data sources, photos and videos, ground-based LIDAR. That was very specific.
Right. And that is what everybody is seeing every day when they walk outside or
get on
Google Street View.
Well, no, they don't see LIDAR models. Somebody knew exactly that the precision of LIDAR was an invasion of privacy or could be an invasion.
Well, that's because the PCAST folks did their homework.
Well, and that's a good thing, but we did seem to be in their crosshairs.
And why not?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the points that we keep making is that every piece of data, be it on social media or anywhere else, you know, when we buy something at the grocery store, has a location tag on it. So again, it's not that special anymore. In fact, it's just part of data that everything has a location and a time.
Yeah.
And the realization of that and the potential of that to impact privacy has been pushed up because it is ubiquitous.
And the other thing I did like, since you're right, I believe they did do their homework, and I thought that somebody with some geospatial expertise was on this panel, which I did like. And so to that end, they mentioned sensor fidelity and precision, and that a single sensor's output might not be sensitive, but the combination from two or more may raise privacy concerns. I thought that was very insightful, and looking at it in your way, I'm glad they brought that out. I'm glad they recognize the potential and that this does impact privacy and could impact privacy detrimentally.
Right. And I hope people will read this report because I think it is very educational. And for me, all they're doing is drawing that parallel between data fusion of connecting up the fact that I have a credit card and I bought something at a brick and mortar store and then I got online and did something else, and they connect those two things together through my credit card. That's data fusion.
Yeah.
And geospatial, mm-hmm. we've been doing data fusion forever, but that's where you connect everything up by location, right? And yes, right. That has the potential to lead to information that we didn't realize we could extract from this combined set of data sets.
I guess what I took away from this was, because somebody of some knowledge was on this panel, they put sensors in there, they discussed drones to some degree, they put the pieces of the puzzle together, and I thought they made it understandable. Now, I don't know if there's any policy changes that will come out of this. In fact, I thought that their recommendations were okay. I didn't really take a lot away from their recommendations, but at least they were thinking about the problem.
I think they were thinking about it holistically, and I think they weren't specifically pulling location out as something special that needed to be dealt with outside of every other kind of data, but that, in fact, it's just another one of those things that we're going to fuse together, and we have to be careful how we use it.
Yeah, one of their recommendations was policy attention should focus more on the actual uses of big data and less on its collection and analysis. I think you just essentially said that.
I think that's right on.
Yeah,
because there's no way we're going to limit the cool sensors that we create, and we're developing new algorithms all the time to understand all of the data that we've collected and that we've fused. The only thing we can do, and this is what we do with hammers, right? You can buy a hammer at the hardware store and use it to bang nails, but if you hit somebody over the head with it and kill them, then there's a problem.
Yeah, their second recommendation was really a carry-on from their first, and it states policies and regulation at all levels of government should not embed particular technological solutions, but rather should be stated in terms of intended outcomes.
Right, because the technology is changing every minute. Really awesome that they recognize that.
I thought that they went into some very specific things. One of the other things they said was, although the data they use are often captured in public areas, scene extraction technologies like Google Street View have triggered privacy concerns. They raised an issue. A recent study by researchers at Facebook analyzed the relationship between geographic location and individual users and that of their friends. From this analysis, they were able to create an algorithm to predict location of an individual based upon their location of a small number of friends. So they really did target some very specific things that maybe people just weren't aware of. And maybe the policymakers weren't aware. I mean, we use this stuff every day. You use Facebook, but again, it's putting this two and two together for the policymakers. I mean, we see it, but I bet you your local congressman doesn't necessarily see it.
No, and I don't know that the president does either, which is why he has this council to digest all this stuff and to lay out the issues.
So I was very pleased with reading this report. I'm glad it came out. I don't know if there's anything more that we in, as the profession can take away from this. I think we're so, you know, heads down in what we do. But I think it once again raised a very particular and important set of issues regarding sensors and the and their application and their expected or unintended outcomes.
We're part of the big data world. We collect the data, we analyze the data, and then some of us or our partners do something with that data. Try to make money, most commonly. So yeah, we've got to be sort of concerned at all those three steps, but I think it's that last one, that the use, it's going to be the biggest issue. And to be fair, we have a lot of experience in that, because up until recently, the major product that we created was a map, be it paper or digital. And then what we had to worry about was, how do we document and warn people about how they can and can't use that map effectively so we're not liable?
Well, I think you raise a really good point. If we're out doing LiDAR data capture and we can create a 3D city model from that, maybe we should be more aware of what we're capturing while we think it's going to be used for city applications or urban planning. There are other unintended uses, and we just need to be aware of them.
Right, and the people who are going to pick up the map, or in your modern case, this LiDAR data set, they need to be aware that it can be used for good or for ill, and that they are making the decision about how to use it, and they're making consequences.
Right, yeah, and I could just envision somebody presenting this type of data in a city planning session where it's open to the public, and people looking at it going, I didn't know you could do that, you know? So.
Right. Well, and the other thing that I'm envisioning, just especially in reading the recommendations, was an idea of, you know, we have these environmental impact statements. So
right.
If you're going to develop something, you've got to do a study to figure out what the impact is going to be on the environment.
Right.
Had them for years. You can argue whether or not they've been, I think they help. I like this idea of a privacy impact statement. So I'm going to collect some data. Maybe it's geospatially focused, maybe not. What are the implications of that data set, you know, as best as I can figure at the moment with the current technology that we have, for it to have an impact on people's privacy?
And I think it was raised in the report that maybe this should be introduced in terms of educating people and thinking more about the privacy implications, whether we should be introducing that to schools with in conjunction with how we introduce technology.
Right. And the whole idea that much of the burden about privacy should be taken away from the individual, but let's put more burden on the data collectors. I think there's value in thinking that way. And I like this idea of a profile. So you sign up for some new service, and you have three options about how they're going to collect and store your data. You know, sort of the don't share anything, share some, share all. And maybe you get different features depending on which ones of those you select. But since have them offer this menu of choices that the end user can pick from, as opposed to just you must agree to all of this stuff and or not use the application.
Right, yeah.
So I think that's another way to look at it. I think the biggest thing that this report did was it tried to encourage policymakers, and I think the public, let's think about how we're going to deal with these challenges in different ways, and I think it did a nice job of doing that.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Our sponsor, Elmhurst College, wants you to know that with a master's degree in applied geospatial sciences from Elmhurst College, you can map out your future. At Elmhurst, you'll work with experienced educators and professionals, and you can complete the program in just 2 years. Elmhurst has a dedicated GIS server, so you get hands-on experience. To learn more, visit go.elmhurst.edu/spsmags.
If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Direction Mag, or send us a tweet @directionsmag. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.